בזמן אחד או בין זה אחרי זה, אחד מטעמי פסל מטר, and you don't know which way to go. So he says, בשל תורה הלך אחרי מחמיר, בשל ספר מחלה המקר. So I'm just wondering, you know, that is not a simple proposition, because sometimes you have a chumra which leads to a kula, and vice versa. How do you make that determination? I mean,
Well, the question is, you know, the emphasis is, you can say something to Raisul Chumra even if it's Tarki Desasri, meaning to say, when it comes up to be Machmer, I have to be Machmer, and when the same Shaila comes up, Lehepach, I'll go like the other sheets. In other words, even if it's mutually contradictory, the din of Suffolk to Raisul Chumra, you still do. In other words, when you go lechumra, it's not the pshat that you're paskening vadai like that opinion. It just means I don't know, so I have to be machmer on both sides of the equation.
I mean, let's say it's the example is giving maybe a bad example, which just sprung to mind was let's say you have a suffix trefa derban,
right?
So you want to throw out the meat.
Yeah.
It's
Baal Tashya from the other side. Oh, it's Baal Tashya. Okay, that's kind of a different situation. Because there, I mean, once the halacha is you can't eat it, so it's not.
No, but let's say I have two rabbanim. This case, I have one saying it's completely fine. There's no issue here at all.
That's a different question. That's a question of so how do you prioritize? What does it mean to go lechumra?
Yeah, that's the question I'm asking. Yeah.
In other words, in this case itself, what does it mean
to go lechumra?
I understand. Yeah.
I assume most people wouldn't eat it in that case.
That's a good question. I think the short answer is that when you're pulled in two different directions, it's shevi al tasa is the hachra. Okay. So if the question is, should I be machmir in bal tashchis and therefore eat it, or should I be machmir in trefos and therefore not eat it? So I think in such a case, the pulls would indicate a shevi al tasa. That would be the thing. I think the answer for that.
He said he wouldn't eat it.
Okay, good.
So we have a reason.
Okay. Yeah. That's what Rav Chaim used to say about pikuach nefesh. Rav Chaim was very, very makel. Meaning any little, he had a bad cold, you know, eat on Yom Kippur, he was extremely makel in sakana. So he used to say that he's not a makel in Hilchos Yom Kippur, he's a machmer in the din of a chai b'hem, in a sense.
The briskers are very, very makel
on the Tanaim. Somebody told me the brisk they don't fast on Shabbos or Pesach.
I don't think they fast like completely, but they're not. If they have a mild headache, though,
Right.
I don't know, Kippur.
Maybe that's
sure.
Why brisk is so popular. In fact, they routinely, women in the ninth month in Yerushalayim, they routinely paskin, they don't fast. In America, come out every Rav paskins, they should fast. And here they're very mental.
Is that a legacy of people talking that people were...
Could be, a lot of it might be historical.
They were really bad.
It could be some of it is there. There was a historical chush of starvation and people dropped dead and everything. That's it. There is a medical phenomenon. It's called the Yom Kippur phenomenon or something about how fasting in the ninth month induces it's labor. It's written up in medical journals. Yom Kippur phenomenon.
Well, my brother told me even today, I'm sure he does not doubt he does on Monday and Thursday. He like pops into the minyan, just shows up and to hear the Torah. And
it's not a big deal.
No, it's not. Again, it's not. It's the same kind of thing. It's not. It's not that they're not. They love to tzibur, but they're machmir on kavona. It's the same.
Fact that he pops into Kriyas HaTorah, that taka is Rav Chaim's chumra, because like the emesis, there are many that say Kriyas HaTorah is not a chay vas yochid. So, if I hold, I don't have to go to tefillah b'tzibur, then I don't have to go to Kriyas HaTorah either, as long as the tzibur reads the Torah. Rav Chaim, Takiyahu, was a Chai Bas Yochid, so Mimela, this is the chumra they have from Rav Chaim. That he has to show up for Kriya Satarah.
Yeah.
What's the difference between that and the Chassidim who don't dabble with this man because Kabbalah is more important?
I mean, there is. I mean, this is really a Limud Tzuchus, although I don't think it's a real Limud Tzuchus for most Chassidim, but the Limud Tzuchus is that Mi'ikir Hadin, if you're capable of a certain level of Kabbalah, and you can't reach it because you're mutrad, so you're taka putter from tefillah.
Right.
because you're not able to reach the level of kavana that is your normal.
But then you shouldn't daven at all, not at 3 o'clock.
So then you have to say, since tefillah's nedava. Now that's the question. Tefillah's nedava. I'm putter from tefillah, so I can daven chakras at 3 o'clock. I can make it a tefillah's nedava for minutes, like an extra minute for davening. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now the question is, that wouldn't allow them to say birchas kriyas shema and those things.
I don't think that Tash Rebbe, someone wrote a whole thing on the schedule.
Yeah.
So he would, a crazy schedule. I mean, he would go to sleep at 6 in the morning. He would spend all night talking to people.
Yeah.
All night.
Right.
He would go to sleep at 6, wake up at like 8 or something.
Right.
He would say Birchas Shachar and Kriyas Shema then.
Taka.
Yeah, and then he would say Tehillim and learn for like 6 hours. And he ended up davening chakras at 3 o'clock. That's what he did.
Okay.
But he was, he wasn't like
Rav Sadek talks about this. This is a very, very dangerous idea. Whether tzaddikim can have a private deal. I mean, the Torah was given to everybody. But there are people that protect you. But that value doesn't apply to a chassid. That may apply to an unusual side of effect. And the Sibbe even learns that Nadav and Aviyu, that really was the problem with Nadav and Aviyu. Nadav and Aviyu kind of... The Nitziv says this was the issue with Nadav and Aviyu. They kind of had a private deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them from the world not because they were sinners. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu says, right, B'kroi v'yakadosh. But because they were destructive role models for everybody else. There may be yechidim that can make their own thing with God. But they can't be leaders, because they can't be the people that we look to, because we are mechuyev to follow this as the... it's a very, very daring idea, but as you're talking, there's such a thing as tzaddikim have private deals, you know. But it's not for public consumption.
You know? To get anybody, even the chassidim who daven tremendously, no one would say that you should daven late. They would only say you should be very focused on your kavanah before that. I mean, I don't think they say, oh, it's a good thing daven late, just to daven late.
Yeah, Chabad has a thing. Chabad has this thing about you bedafka, you're mechuyev. I think they even quote the Rebbe, although I'm not sure if the Rebbe ever said it. They say you're mechuyev to eat mezainas before davening on Shabbos. You have to do it
because more,
otherwise it won't be kavana, and anyone that doesn't is mevazet tefila. All sorts of things.
Does Rav Sadek says this about the
tzaddikim? I'd have to find it. I'd have to find it. But these are the more daring parts of Rav Sadek.
The Rebbe of Amshinov, so he tells all the tzaddikim. He has like a minion that tells him, and everyone else tells him, do not follow me. He tells him, do not.
But he has a minion that follows him.
I think he has a minion that follows him. We're very wild.
I mean, this is the bechina generally of the musik that Chazal call Aveira Lishma. Right? There is a musik called Aveira Lishma. And all the Rav Chaim Volozhiner, I guess this is consistent with the Litvak, says Aveira Lishma was only an idea kaidem matan Torah. But once there's matan Torah, it's not yitachin Aveira Lishma. But that was Rav Chaim. That's not the Gra Shita. The Gra Shita. I mean, the Gra Shita is, it's not shayach for anybody to, you know, kind of negotiate out of halacha. But in Chassidus, one of the daring ideas of Chassidus was that there was a bechina of aveir lishma, and that's kind of what Rav Sadek is talking about there.
I'm sure that those things the next day, Pasha. I mean, he's completely out of him. He's
l'mayla min hazman. He's not in
Zman. He does Purim. He can go to Purim the next day. And he's having his Purim Suda the day after. Like completely the day after, like Tuesday. Everyone's right.
Here's Mikhailov's matter.
I think he does. He doesn't do malacha after Shkia. Everyone, he knows when the regular Shkia, he's aware. It's not like Shabbos is just tomorrow.
We just don't understand the processes. And you know, Hasidim probably don't understand either. He's probably not Masber.
I saw it written in some kutras that at one point they heard about this. They were going to be macha him. Like, what is this? This is crazy.
Yeah.
And then Shlomo Zalman, he said, don't. This is the pillar of tefillah. Just does.
There are different worlds.
Stay away. Stay away from this.
Now the Sfas Emunah. Ger used to under the Kedushi Arim. Ger used to daven late and everything. The Sfas Emunah was mavatal all of it. He said they have to have all the tefillahs b'sman. So that was the first thing the Sfas-Emes did. He was mabatal all of the hanagas because Kutz, you know, Ger is an outgrowth of Kutz. Kutz was Hefker. Kutz was all over the place with everything. Because Kutz Garevi was Bechlala, although the Mailuch for many type of Zman or whatever.
There was a Machlokes about it when he took over the Sfas-Emes, right?
Yeah, Sfas-Emes was very young. He was the grandson of Chiddush Yerim because Chiddush Yerim had no surviving son. He lost ten sons.
So he held off for a bit. He said and told him that all the people passed away. That was the story.
Right, he held off because he was only like 22. So he was very young when he was going to take over. And there were some breakaways. There were some breakaways here. And some people felt the Sfas-Emes was not radical enough. He was trying to be a misnaget almost. Davin Bisman, Kriyat Shema Bisman. But that brought Ger back into, that's why of all the Hasidus, you know, Ger is like the most, the closest to the Lipishit. He brought him back in there.
Well, they changed a lot recently. They went away from the Yidden again.
Well, because of that's the part of it. So when a good and Degel Torah split, so that kind of alienated Ger from Rav Shach.
Well, even the Der Halima, though.
Yeah, they went back to a Bekiyas?
More Bekiyas. The current Rebbe changed
like
the whole...
Six, 7 years ago.
Yeah, they changed the whole system. They used to be very learning you, and the Mamash, like, I think that he has certain yeshivas that they learn him, but except for certain Bekiyas, certain programs, they went back to a much more Bekiyas-based model.
Well, yeah, okay, that's interesting. Just because that was just the Rebbe's preference, just he held that it was a better way.
I don't know this far. I just know that they did.
The truth of the matter is that even in the mainstream yeshiva world, there seems to be a lot of attacks on the standard Derech HaYin in yeshivas. I mean, even Rav Shach attacked it, but he didn't, you know. Yeah. Now, some people say the age, it's hard to say, they say that the age of that Rav Chaim brought in, the Brisker Derech, which really all the Yeshiva Shadrachim are the Brisker Derech, had its time. You know, it's like a 50-year thing that was needed, you know, 60-year thing, and now, you know, we go to other Drachim or become eclectic or incorporate other Shitas. It had a time and place. In fact, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said, it was necessary b'hashkacha to combat Haskalah. This is what Rav Yaakov said, because Haskalah had all sorts of intellectual challenges that, you know, philosophy and science and the brightest people were attracted to secular discipline. So Rav Chaim Min HaShemayim brought in a derech halimah that was profound and intellectually very rich and dense. And that's the way that many, many brilliant people stayed in the Torah world. Today, maybe we have fewer brilliant people. That's not our Nisayan. Our Nisayan is more of a Nisayan of Taiva, lifestyle, decadence, laziness. So for that, they say, you know, you need to fill yourself up with Yediyah Satayra. You know, the Yediyah Satayra, you learn. Not so much, in other words, the need for profound analytics was necessary when the Nisayan was an intellectual Nisayan. When it's a Taiva Nisayan, then, for care, they say more and more Yediyahs are better. So some say, that's the problem. That's why we have such a problem with so many people are not growing from the yeshiva shederich, because, this wasn't their time. It's not like, when you have a guy who's going to go to Spinoza or Einstein or whatever it would be, so maybe he needed a Rav Chaim. But that's not, you know, for the guy who doesn't read Spinoza, doesn't understand Einstein, you know, that's not the same, it's not the same problem. It's interesting. Drachim and Levit. Now, I saw the Chazon Ish. It's fascinating. You know, I'm sure you've seen it. And maybe there's a professor. He's a front guy, a religious guy, Benjamin Brown, wrote a massive biography of the Chazon Ish. Fat book. Not a single picture in it. It's really an academic work on the Chazon Ish. Because, you know, he considers, and he's 100% right, the Chazon Ish is not just a gadol. You know, the Gedolim is a great gadol. The Chazon Ish is really the inventor of Haredi society in Eretz Israel. I mean, really, he's almost single-handed. You know, you can talk about the Panovich Rebbe or the Brisker Rebbe. All of these are like just augmenters of the Chazon Ish's vision. One cannot underestimate, you know, how Mamish, as a single person, he created the Haredi yeshivisha world in Eretz Israel. So he writes. So, you know, he's very. He talks about the, you know, kind of from an objective perspective. He talks about what the Chazon Ish did, his different shitas. But he quotes there one of the Igros Chazon Ish where a bacher was asking what yeshiva he should go to. Because in one yeshiva, there's a structure, derech halimud, they teach you how to think, they teach you how to analyze the sugya. Another yeshiva, you just learn. There's no particular, you know, way of approaching. But there was better Yirat Shemayim, and the tefillah was more of a kavana. So what yeshiva you go to? So the Chazon Ish said a surprising thing, and I don't think it's historically true. But this is what he says. He says, the great Litvishi yeshivas didn't give you a derech halimud. They didn't really care. You know, you learned. This idea of having you have to have a derech halimud, he says he doesn't see that as a big deal.
Maybe he meant before Velazhen.
This before, yeah, before Velazhen. Yeah,
I mean, the private yeshivas people had.
So he says, so the Iker is a place where the hasmada is good, and there's Yirat Shemayim. He says whether they teach you how to approach a sugya, he says zelo mafriya. He says if you learn enough, he says you'll have your derech how to approach it. He might have said he was indifferent to a derech halimud. More or less. He said, Baruch Ber, he was referring to, he said, Baruch Ber is a Yaisim in a Klal, he was Macha. But I mean, Sabbat, okay, I mean, he seemed to indicate that even before World War II, it was only Baruch Ber and Rav Shimon, he said, were the two examples of a structured Derech Halima. He says, Rav Yeshivas, he said.
I mean, it can't be that he wasn't aware of it. It can't be.
I mean, Sabbatka had a Derech, although the Shir was not that important in Sabbatka. I mean, in Velazhen and Sabbatka, maybe they're in. Maybe the shear was not so important, although the clients started off.
Even the blotcher wasn't important?
It wasn't that important. I mean, people went, if them, and they wanted to go. It wasn't like, in other words, the idea was in a place like Velazhen, you learned, then you wanted to hear what did Rav Chaim say today. It wasn't the notion of, you know, the shir. Like,
so
you didn't spend an afternoon saying like here, chazering shir.
Chavos Chaim, Shiva Chavos Chaim, they hold they're mamash the malam agav slavaka. They hold they have a mamash shadera from David.
Yes,
the blot shir is very, very important.
That's right. Rav David Leibovich and Rav Chenich was fanatic about that. I mean, the shir.
The blot shir was like, that's right, like
that. Right. Chazanish mamash said, he says it's not important.
So here, if Isha is like that, they make you go spend the entire day going over the whole.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So the Chazon Ish was so interesting. On one hand, he had many, many tainus on yeshivas. On the other hand, he almost never said them publicly, because he said they were so important to Klal Yisrael. He says he'll be makabel them with their pergamum. So he was not, an unabashed fan. He had many, many tainus on yeshivas. But on the other hand, he said that without them, we would be dead. So he says, you have to be recovered.
He didn't even need to go to yeshivas. I mean, himself.
He didn't go to yeshivas. In fact, his famous statement he once said, he said that for a person to become a gadol in yeshiva is like trying to plant a tree under a table. It's not going to go beyond a certain plant. So he was fascinating. He was not like, you know, he was not starry-eyed. He was not Pollyannish. He was very, very realistic about Chasrinus, but quite amazing. He really, I mean, quite amazing. I mean, they say it's not Stam a Gadol. Like, you know, say a Gadol. He was a Gadol, of course, but I mean, he was mamish, an architect. And this was only the last 15 years of his life. Most of the, he was mamash a nister till he was 55. He didn't come to Eretz till he was 55. And in Europe itself, he basically just learned. He was Isaac a little bit. He gave shiurim to people, but the Yiddish author Chaim Grada, who was not from, he married a guy. But he was a yasim. His father had died in Vilna, and his mother arranged for the Chazon Ish to be his private tutor. Most amazing thing, because there's some private tutoring, and Chaim Grada wrote novels in which he thinly disguises.
He loved the Chazon Ish,
and he loved the Chazon Ish. That's an amazing thing, you know. To me, that says more than everything, because when Talmidim write about how great the Gadol is, that's why here, but that's not religious, and he writes about the Chazon Ish, and he's critical about a lot of Yiddish today. But the Chazon Ish, you know, he loved. He says he loved. He was. Chazon Ish emerges totally good from these novels. But they say that the best biography of the Chazon Ish is Chaim Grada's novels. The members get what the personality was, who the Chazon Ish was, and the like. Okay. All right, so we're up to a new parak. Yeah. Yesh mutarei sobalein v'yasiris liyav mayim. Okay, so some of this is going to summarize things that we've learned. It's a very useful summary. Sometimes there are women who are permitted to be married to their husbands, but they are forbidden to the yavam. Mutarei liyav mayim v'yasiris lebalein. They are forbidden to their husbands, but the kedushin is typhus. About it, since kedushin is typhus, they'll be mutar liyavam. Mutara isle'elu v'la'elu, v'yasura isle'elu v'la'elu. So first we start off with the reisha. Mutara isle'elu v'asura isle'elu. An example would be, kain hejet shenasa es almana. The kain hejet marries an almana, that's legamri mutar. V'yesh le'ach kain gadol. So the the emphasis is this is actually a superfluous case, because I tell you, if you think about this, even if a kain hejet doesn't marry an almana, as soon as he dies, she is an almana. So every yavama is usher to a kain gadol. So it's not clear why the Mishnah gives you this case, but if a kain hejet marries an almana, so that's mutaris lebalayan, asuris liyavmayan. Now again, remember the Mishnah in the second parak, what is the halacha if an almana is nefelis to a kain gadol? So the halacha is your choleis below miyabim. Why are you not miyabim? That's a dairaisa. So it depends if she's an almana min ha'ersin or an almana min ha'nesuin. If she's an almana min ha'nesuin, you're not miyabim, because ein asei deicha leisase viasei. Because an almana min ha'nesuin, a kain gadol has a lav and an asei. Almana lo yikach. Ki im besula meyama vikachisha, and on a dairaisa level, ein asei deicha leisase viasei. Aye, but what if she's only an almana min erisin and there's been no consummation? So she is a besula. So all you have is a leisase gereda. So why are you choleis? The answer is, the Gemara says, Bia Rishaina atu Bia Shnia. Min Hatayra, the Bia Rishaina would be mutter. But then you would have to divorce her, because after the Bia Rishaina there's no mitzvah. So Chazal were geyser, don't even do the first Bia because of the second Bia. Now, again, just to chazer over a little bit. Now, what about like Rabbi Akiva that says, Chai Ve'lavin Ein Kedushin Taifsim, Ei Bazoi, why would you even need Chalitza? So if you recall, the Stam Mishnah has the Shita that Rabbi Akiva only said his din by Chai Ve'lavin de She'er, like Eishes Aviv, but by the Chai Ve'lavin, actually, the truth is, that's not all Mandiyam. Even the Mandiyam that says he says it by all Chai Ve'lavin says specifically he does not say it by Chai Ve'lavin of Kahuna. So by Almana L'Kain Gadol, a Kol Ma'idim Kedushin would be Taifsim. That's why you need Chalitza. Another example. Cholol, again, this is Muteres Lebalayan, Asuris Liavmeyam. Cholol Shenasa Kesheira. Let's say a Kohen has two wives. One wife was a Grusha and one wife is a regular woman. So the Kohen who lives with the Grusha, the son that he has is a Cholol. He's not a Kohen. The child that the Kohen has from the Kesheira is Kosher, he's a Kohen. So if a cholol marries a kashera, the yesh loy och kosher. So this is a case of, no, one second. We want to give a case. Yeah, mutaras lebalayen, the asurais liavmeyim. Now, why is it asuris liavmeyim? The answer is because bias cholol passels a woman lekahuna. So if a cholol marries a kashera, and we're talking about, this is where it was consummated, min ha'nesuin, so this is a case of mutaris lebalayim v'asuras liyavmeyim. Yisrael shenasa bas Yisrael v'yesh lo'yach mamzer, that's asuras lebalayim mutaris, I'm sorry, mutaris lebalayim v'asuras liyavmeyim. Or mamzer shenasa mamzeres v'yesh loach kosher. So all of these cases are mutaris lebalayan v'asurais liavmeyim. Okay, v'yelu mutaris liavmeyim v'asurais lebalayan. Kayen gadol Shekidesh es ha'almana v'yesh lo ach kainet. So here the Mishnah is very meduyik. A kayin gadol was makadesh an almana, and then he died. So the ach kayin gadol, the ach kayin hejet, can even be miyabim. Now, why does the Mishnah say kohen gadol shekidesh es an almana? Why doesn't it just say a kohen gadol married an almana? The answer would be like this: if a kohen gadol had intercourse with the almana, she would now become a chalala. Because again, chalala has a few definitions, but there are two ways you create a chalala. How do you create a chalala out of nothing? So one is, any bia that is a violation of Isurei Kohuna make the woman a chalala. So technically, if a Kohen marries a Grusha, she becomes a chalala, but that's superfluous because she's already a Grusha, so the question would be, you get two Malkas. But where it is Nogeya is, if a Kohen Gadol is Ba'al Almana, so when she was an almana, she was only Aser L'Kohen Gadol. But the Bia to the Kohen Gadol now makes her a Chalola, so she's forbidden even to a Kohen Hejet. So in order to give a case where the almana is Aser to the Balayan and Mutter to the Avam, we have to Zetzain, the Kohen Gadol was Makadesh the almana, but he was not Bayol the Almana. And that is why she is not a Chalala until there is a Be'ilas Iser. Right, so Kohen Gadol Shekidesh Es Almana V'yesh Lo Ach Kohen Hejet. Kosher Shenasa Chalala. A Kohen Kosher who marries a Chalala, whether he has relations with her or not. V'yesh Lo Yach Chalala, but his brother is a Chalala. So a Chalala can marry a Chalala. Right, that's not a problem. Yisrael shenasa mamzeres v'yesh loach mamzer. Mamzer shenasa yisraelis v'yesh loach yisrael. All of these cases are mutaris liyavmeyem liyasurais livaleyem. V'yelu asurais la'elu v'la'elu. Kayen gadol shenasa almana v'yesh loach kayen gadol o kohen hejet. Yeah? Because in such a case, once there was a bia, she becomes a chalala. Kosher shenasa chalala v'yesh lo ach kosher. Yisrael shenasa mamzeres v'yesh lo ach Yisrael. Mamzer shenasa bas Yisrael v'yesh lo ach mamzer. That's asurais li'elu v'la'elu. Ushar kol anoshim mutarais la'elu v'la'elu. Now you'll notice that the Mishnah is not dealing with arayas here. This whole Mishnah of mutaris la'elu v'la'elu is not referring, for example, it could have said, I marry my niece, right? So it's Muteris the Balei and Asuris the Avmeim because it's my brother's daughter. But we're not dealing with Arayas. We're dealing with cases where there is Tfizas Kedushin and you have to have Chalitza, and it gives you a list based on that. Okay, so then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Laihusaru Kesheiras, Lihinase Lipsulin. So this is a very, very important Yesod in Hilchas Kahuna. That a kesheira, meaning a bas kohen, that is a kesheira, is allowed to marry a person that is pasul. So this would mean what? This would mean that although a kohen cannot marry a chalala, but a bas kohen is allowed to marry a chalal. That a kosher bas kohen does not have the iser of marrying people that are pasul l'kahuna.
She can marry Israel.
She can marry Israel, that's right. Now, that doesn't mean, the truth of the matter is, though, keep in mind that although a chalal is simply ice kohen, but he's not just the Israel. There is something negative about a chalal. For example, a chalal pasuls either a bas kohen or a bas Israel. A chalal marries a bas Israel. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that marriage. But the Bas Yisrael, if she then becomes widowed, cannot marry a Kohen. And the daughter they have cannot marry a Kohen. Again, Chalalas is an interesting gene. It only affects the woman, but it's only passed down through the man. which means to say the following. If a cholol marries a bas Yisrael, the daughter cannot marry a kohen. If a Yisrael marries a chalala, the daughter can marry a kohen. Chalalas is passed down only through the male, but it only affects the female, because even if a cholol marries a bas Yisrael and they have a son, the only impact on the son is, well, the son is not a kohen. The son is not possible to marry a bas kohen.
He's not a kohen because his father, right.
Yeah. So this is the din of Vayhushru Ksheiras, the Nasei Lepsuman.
So this is the way how we learn it out. There's no particular, there's no svara behind why that is.
Yeah, we don't have a svara. The Gemara has drushes from Sukkim that Chalala says right, that. Yeah. So then the Gemara says, how can you say that? Maisiv Ravin bar Rav Nachman lo yikhu mulamed shehoisha musares al yedei hoish. Yeah. 1 second. That when the Torah talks about the Isser of Kahuna, it says it a Lashon Rabin. What's the do? You have, is that
Chomish?
Lo Yikachu, yeah. Isha, yeah.
Be taken.
Lo Yikachu, yeah. No Chomish again, it's a very yeshivish room.
Son of a cholol and a Yisrael, he's just not a kohen. He's not a cholol.
If what? So that's the question. If a cholol, okay, that's a good question.
How long is a cholol?
I mean, here's the question: if a cholol marries a bas Yisrael, so the daughter cannot marry a kohen. But what about the son? Is the son?
Nothing from the Rav probably has in the Gemara.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Is the son a cholol or is the son just a Yisrael? Meaning. The cholol, that's the son, would he possible Bas Yisrael? That'd have to be my entire. Maybe we'll see the halacha there. In other words, the question is cholol shenasa Bas Yisrael, and they have a son?
For sure, the daughter doesn't pass it on. For sure, the daughter.
No, the daughter does not pass it on, but the daughter cannot marry a kohen.
Right, but
how can she be a cholol? If it's not a kohen, how can she be a cholol? Don't you mean to be a kohen to become.
If a Kohen is Baal HaGrusha, the child is that Ben Grusha, right? The Mishnah Makas. A Ben Grusha is a Cholo, meaning because he was born from a Kohen, right? He was born from a Kohen, but he's a Cholo. So the question is, if my father is already a Cholo, my father is a Cholo that was born from a Kohen and a Grusha. Yeah? The Cholol now marries a Bas Yisrael. The Kedushin is Beheter. In fact, even if he marries a Bas Kohen, the Kedushin is Beheter. There's no Isra here. The daughter is a Cholola, a second generation Cholola, who cannot marry a Kohen, that's for sure. The question we have is, what is the status of the son? What is the status of the son of a cholol? V'shteisach, he's not a kohen. We got that. But is he a cholol or just not a kohen? Nafgamina is, would this second generation cholol passel either his wife or his daughter?
Maybe I'm just misunderstanding, but I understood that a cholol means that there's a kohen that something went wrong with.
Yeah, I understand. But the question still is whether genealogically, the fact that he is, in other words, genealogically, he is a Kohen. I mean, he's Zera Aaron.
That's true, but the whole idea of a Cholol is that a Cholol's sons are not Kohanim. That's
But the question is, what does that mean exactly?
Yeah, Cholol,
does that mean they don't have the Dinim of Kohanim, or they don't have the Yichus of Kohanim? Meaning, So you want to say, Misvara, that once a cholo has a ben cholo, that ends it. Meaning there's no longer... The cholo's gene has been killed. We now just have a Yisrael.
I don't know what someone said. I'm just saying that's how I understood it for now. I could be wrong.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure. I mean, the one thing we do know, the halacha is that the chalo can marry a bas kohen, that's for sure. But the question becomes, is he a chalo? Okay, well, we'll be mine. We'll have to see the halacha there. Meaning, once you have chalo number one, there is no kahuna anymore. So the chalalas cannot travel. It's been killed by the first zohar. Okay. So the pasuk has lo yikachu, right? This is the pasuk that says what? This is in Parshas Emor. Isha, Zaina, v'chalala, lo yikachu. Now, lo yikachu is b'lashon rabim. Now, the simple reason is, the reason why it's b'lashon rabim is because it's just referring to all kohanim. By the way, you know, that's the Mucker of the name Azuloi, the Chidah's name, it's a sin, a Sephardic name. Azuloi was a name of Kohanim originally. Isha, Zona, V'chalala, Lo Yikachu. So it wouldn't have an olive. Lo Yikachu, Azuloi. Just like Kastin. Kastin is a name. Kohane, Sheluche, Didan. Didan Ninub. Okay. Anyway, so the Pashtus is Lo Yikachu is going on Kehanim, but we have a drasha that the Lo Yikachu is expressing that there's an Isser on the man and on the woman. Lo Yikachu, meaning neither of them can be involved in the Kicha. The woman gets Malkus as well as the man. So how can you say there's no Isser on the woman? So now the Gemara explains right away that this is really not a Kasha. Because Amar Rava, the idea of the shavius of ish v'isha simply means this: Kol heicha dehu musar, he nami musaris. The shivayan simply means whenever the man is not allowed to do something, so the woman that is a partner to that union also gets malchus. If a kohen marries a grusha, if a Kohen marries a Chalala, if a Kohen marries a Zona, if a Kohen Gadol marries an Almana, Lo Yikachu says, not only is the Kohen like it, but the woman is like it as well. Kegain Grusha L'Kohen Shehu Musar Shelo Lisa Isa, Afhi Musares Shelo Linase Lai.
And we mean that it wouldn't be,
Favor? So it's more than that. Meaning like this. Lo Yikachu is marba, a different thing. Because like this. Because, well, okay. let me give you an example. Let's take an extreme example of Erva itself. Let's say a man has bia with his sister. Now, the lav in the Torah is on the man. So if the woman would only be a lifnei iver, she wouldn't be chayiv karis, she wouldn't have to bring a korban chatas. By the Torah telling me, it's not only a lifnei iver that she's machshel him, but the avera is directly chal on her, she will get the same einish. Now the question you might ask is, well, maybe that's a tzrichasa when it comes to something where there's karis, because lifnei iver is not a karis. But here where it's malchus, so the question becomes, is there malchus for lifnei iver? That's really the question. Meaning
is lifnei iver within the mitzvah, or is it its own?
Yeah, meaning if it would only be a lifnei iver dikadin, and maybe there'd be no malchus for it. The malchus comes because she is a veres on the din of grusha, the din of almana, the din of zaina, right? That's lo yikachu. She's nichlal in the lav. I'll come back to that. She's nichlal in the lav itself. However, when Rav said lehusru k'sheres dinase lipsulin, he meant like this: v'chol heicha tohu eino muzer, where he doesn't have the avera, he nami eino muzeres. So there, what would that mean? Kagain chalo. A chalo does not have an iser to marry a bas kohen, because the Torah does not put any Isser on the Chalal himself. Hakehenes nami einem muserish loli nasei b'chalal. V'chein hilchasa. Now this is what they say. They want to use this as a teretz to Akasha. That the Ran asks, there's a sugi in Nidorim that says like this. If an Ashes Ish says when she's married that Nitmesi, I was Nitmes, so the halach is Minatira she's Nemenes, because Shavya Nafshechaticha di Sura, but Midrabanan she's not Nemenes, because we are Chayshesh Shema Eineha Nasna Biacher. Maybe she's doing it to get out of the marriage. So she says, I committed adultery. In fact, that used to be, it's reminiscent of New York. For many, many years, they don't do it anymore, but many years, New York State only allowed divorce for adultery, like Beis Shammai, Lo Yigarish Adam Mitzishtai. Now, this was a crazy situation. Let's say both parties want to get a divorce. They want to get a divorce. Now, even amicably, they could not get a divorce in New York State. So there was a whole industry where they would prearrange a fake adultery. In other words,
they had to prove adultery.
So they would arrange. The guy, even if he wasn't Mazana, they would arrange a hotel room with the woman and pictures and newspaper pictures, and they would present it. It was a fake thing. What you do with that? It was a prearranged fake adultery, just so they could get a divorce. You know, that's how it was. So that's the Shiloh Beinah Nasna Biacher. You want to get out. So the Ran has a kasha like this. The Ran has a kasha. The Chayra. How could the Chacham, in other words, Minat Chayra, the woman's Mazana, she's forbidden to her husband. So the Chachamim are maturing a woman that's forbidden to her husband to continue to have intercourse with her husband. Even if the Chachamim have a kayach to be Mavatol Dover Minat Chayra, that's only B'Shevi Al Tasa, like not blowing Shaver. And Rosh Hashanah Shechal B'Shabbos. This is a Kumbiyasei. They're maturing the Yisr Saita for Kumbiyasei. Right? So this is a Frek Duran. How is it Yitachay, the din of Shema'ina Nasna B'Yachar? So the Ran says, Val the Gechidish in the Gemara, the Ran says, oh, this is Avkinu Rabbanan L'Kedushin Minei. It's like, since called to Mekadesh, Adaita the Rabbanan Mekadesh, so it's as if the Chachamim said, we are telling you, l'chatchila, that if your wife ever says she committed adultery, the kedushin is nakar l'mafreya, memela, you're allowed to stay married to her. Okay, stay married to her, you have to remarry her. How do you work that? But you have to remarry her because of kina rabban and l'gah. But then the Ran says, wait a second, but that's only going to work by Eishes Yisrael. Because Eishes Yisrael, one second, Eishes Yisrael is Muteres B'Aynes Asura Baratzen. What about Eishes Kohen, which is even B'Aynes? Oh, so that's not a problem either. Because if once you're Mavkiya Kedushin, once you're Mavkiya Kedushin, that's going to work for Eishes Kohen too. But here's what the Ran says. Ha-Tenach, if she was Nevelas to a Kosher, meaning if the only issue was adultery, have caused Kedushin. But what if she says, what if an Eishes Kohen comes in and says, after she's married, I had relations with a guy. And she could say it, I had relations with a guy before we were married, or I had relations with a guy after we were married. So there you have a problem. Even if you're Mafkia Kedushin, she's still going to be usher to him, right? Because Bias Akum makes her puzzle. So how are you going to get around it? The Chachamim make a takana. They're being Iker Davar Min HaTorah. They're mattering the Yisur Bebekum Viaseh. So the Ran himself gives a different answer. The Ran himself says that Fakir Min HaTorah, she's not Nemenes. That the only reason to believe her would have been Midrabanan, and the Rabbanan took away the Nemenes. Why Min HaTorah wouldn't she be Nemenes? Because since when she's married, she has a shibud to the husband. To have Aina, she's not ne'menes min ha'tayra to be mafkia shibud. So her whole ne'menes would have only have been midrabanan. So the rabbanan take away the ne'menes. That's what the Ran says. Right? The Ran says, because she's not ne'menes to be mafkia the shibud. Now, the big problem is always, the big problem with all these things are, well, wait a second. The Ran is still not maspik. Let's say she's now a genuinely religious woman. Let's look at it from her perspective. She is not ne'emenes. But Lamaisa, she knows in her own mind that she was with a guy. So the question would be, even if Basten will not order the man to give a get, and Basten will tell the man, you don't believe your wife, go ahead. What are her religious obligations between her and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is she allowed to be with her husband? So here, some Svarim want to say like this. Based on even the Lashon of the Gemara, the aside of her Isser is whenever he is usher to be with her, she is usher to be with him. So Mimela, her Isser, her, even if she knows the Metzias, her Isser exists only under circumstances where his Isser exists. And since he has no Isser because of her lack of Nemanis, like the Rav says, Mimela, even though she knows the truth. See, that's the difference between, let's say, Treif. You know, Treif, if something is chaylev, that's an external reality. If I know it's treif, let's assume we have holchan acharei, all sorts of halachas, and everybody in the world, you know, can paskin that it's mutter. But I happen to know the metzias. I just know the metzias. I know this is the treif me. So the Ramban says, b'chi agadna, I'm not allowed to eat it. I know it's usher. Everybody can assume it came from this and came from that. And let's assume I'm not Neman to tell people the truth. Good. But I know the truth. I have to live by the truth that I know. But this is a different masif. It is not the objective bia to the guy that makes her usher. It is the chalais isser to her husband that makes her usher. Memela, if in dine ne'amanus there's no chalais isser on the husband, then she can go ahead and have bia, even though she knows objectively she was nevelus to the guy.
Yeah.
So we have a similar issue by Eishes Ish. It's mamish. This is a similar issue. This is what.
Don't believe that.
Right, and halacha is if a woman tells her husband, it's really the same issue. Really, it's a kash on the Ran a little bit, because why the Ran says she's not believed because of kinei rabbanon l'kedushin, right? Yeah. But the emes is the chazam sefer gives a different matter. She's not believed because since he's not mechuyev to believe her, then she's not ushered. She is not usher on her own if he's not usher. Yeah. I mean, the Ran is mashma. The very fact that the Ran said Abkini was mashma, he doesn't go with that svara. But yeah, they say the same. They say the same svara. The Marshal and the Chassam Sofer say the same svara. Now there, you can hear it a little bit more, because the Chassam Sofer Taina is a very interesting svara. He says that asering an isha labayla is a davar shebe'erva, and we have a klal ein davar shebe'erva paches mishnayim. And we know that that's not just to be mavara. For example, a kedushin shelo b'fnei edim, the edim make the kedushin. So he says the edim make the erva. A saita is nesa. You need edim l'kiyume. You need edim for kedushin. You need edim for gershin. You need edim for saita. So even if the woman knows she was mazana, there's no chalaisis or saita unless there's either edis or she's neman to the husband like to edim. Because then she's called an Aedus.
And the same thing, in Shemaim, if you come in and you did a Kedushin and there were no Edom there,
it's going to right?
Yeah, Klavish Shemaim Galo,
there's no Kedushin.
You were not married.
That's correct. So the Chiddush is that even applies to the Yisr Saita. It is not the Metzias of Zanus, it is the Aedus. Yeah. This is why a woman is told not to tell. That's why the Poskim say a woman that's Mazana does not tell her husband. Until there's Aedus, there's no Chalaisis. Now Treif is very different. Treif is considered to be an objective reality. You don't need Edom or even an Eidachad to make something Treif. The Eidachad is just clarifying a Metzias.
by the rice, what about the rabbanan treif? Same thing.
Well, there you get into another issue. You know, there's a famous
Rabbanan.
You know, the Nesivos. The Nesivos says, "An iser derabbanan b'shaygeg does not need kapara, because it's not an iser derabbanan until you know that you're doing it, because the iser is leisasor. Leisasor is to be moreid, to rebel. If I think it's kosher." That's the Nesivos. The Nesivos says, in fact, it's in Hilchos Mekachtais. The din in Shulchan Aruch is, it's based on the Mishnah B'chayres. If I sell you meat and you paid me for it, and then it turns out the meat was treif, so it's a Mekachtais, and even if you ate the meat already, unfortunately, like a month that you ate the meat already, you get your money back. That's the Mishnah says, a Mekachtais. So the Nesivos wants to be Mechadesh, that's only if it's a Trefa d'Oraisa. If it's a Trefa d'Rabbanan, it's not a Mekachtais, because there was no Maisa Avera in eating it. Which is interesting. Well, okay, the case of Munzi involved maybe d'Oraisa. Now, the emphasis is, though, the Nesivos is Moridik Eshver, because if you think about it, there would be a million things you never have to do. I mean, let's say an Erev is down. Let's say you're Seimechad an Erev. And an Erev is down. Now, but derech klal, we don't make erevin in Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa. We only make an erev in an area that's a karmelis. Now, carrying in a karmelis is only a drabanan. So if the erev is down, why do I have to announce it? Everybody is carrying, but it's b'shaygeg. They think it's up. I mean, so why do I have to tell anybody anything? I mean, there's so, everything is, most things are drabanans, one way or the other. Right, you're going to walk by and trigger a light. So it's a grumma, it's a drabanan, you know, all these things. You know, I don't have to tell you at all. You know, why do I have to tell you the refrigerator light is on? You know, so it's a problem. I mean, like the receiver should have an amazing thing.
Close the fridge. That's the problem.
Yeah, afterwards. Okay, afterwards. Yeah,
protect the
food. Right. So that's the problem. Like the Nesivos would appear, you'd have a huge number of situations. I'm not mechuyev to be mafrik umi yisr, because you're not doing any yisr. It's a drop on him to show you. But that's what the Nesivos says. That's his chiddush.
So
you're right. So according to the Nesivos, whatever quantum of edus you would need to establish the drabanan, that would trigger the chalais yisr drabanan. Yeah. Yeah, 1 second. So why does Naran say she's not? Okay, all right. Yeah. So they base it on this yisayid. They base it on this yisayid. Kol heicha dehu musar, he musaris. And that's why she is allowed to stay in the relationship, because since in Hilchos Ne'amanus, she has no Ne'amanus on him. So even mitzad her klapish mayagalia, even though she knows the mitzias, she's not doing an aver anymore, because. In other words, this is the Eidus L'Kiyume. The Eidim creates the Chalai Sitzer. They're not just Mavarer a Mitzias. Yep. Okay. Yep. Now let's just finish to the Mishnah. The Garcina Nami B'Kiddushin.
Sorry, can I just one more thing?
Yeah.
If she knows they're Eidim, I'm just trying to clear, is it the fact that they saw, is it the Ha'adah, is it the fact that they're giving testimony when they come before a Beis Din and say that
I hear. So there seems to be a steer here, because it seems like this. It seems if she knows there are Eidim, it is the Re'iyas Ha'Eidim that creates the Yisr even before Haggadah. Just like by Kedushin, the Eidim Lekiyume are the Eidei Re'iyah. But what bothers me a little bit is the Chassam Sofer's application of this seems to move the other way, because the Chassam Sofer's cheshbon was the woman does not have to tell her husband she was Mezana, because since there would be an Isser only if he believes her Kishnei Eidim, so until she tells him, you don't have your Shnei Eidim.
She knows.
Right. So, but I think there must be a chiluk between two Eidim v'payel, meaning when you objectively have two Eidim, you have two Eidim. Here, she doesn't morph into two Eidim.
There's
until
no Re'iyah.
Right. She doesn't become two Eidim until he believes her. So you have to be mechalik between two actual Eidim and her potentiality to become like Jewish.
Like
right. I think, but I think if there are mamish eidim, I think the Riya alone would create the chaloy sister. So she would not be allowed. If she was aware of eidim, she would not be allowed to be with him, even if she's not believed beside him. But she, in terms of her duty to Hashem, she would not be allowed to have intercourse. She'd have to find some way out
of it. If she can't find the eidim, that's not the gem. The eidim saw that.
Yeah, yeah. It's like kedushin. Kedushin is chal bi eidim, even if the eidim are medina sayam. Yeah. Okay. Let's see one more halacha. V'hilchas v'gashin enami b'kedushin perak asar v'yuchsin. A similar halacha. Hilchas ger mutar b'kayanis. That even though a kohen cannot marry a giyayres, but a ger can marry a bas kaihain, because lo yhusaru kasheiros li nasei lipsulim. And in addition, however, this is just the derech agav, meaning a ger gets the best and the worst, gets all worlds. The ger can marry the highest purity in Klal Yisrael, which is the bas kohen, and he could also marry a mamzeres, and that's another reason, Rav Yaisi. The Amar Kahal Gerim La Yikrika, because the Torah says La Yavay Mamzer Bikal Hashem, and Rav Yossi says Kahal Gerim is not Kahal, and Mimele Ger is Mutter B'Mamzer, although their child will be a Mamzer. Yeah, okay, we'll stop here. But so the thing we need
a
to
Kohenis,
be
but not a Kohen. I mean, isn't that higher? We're saying the highest.
The highest woman we're talking about.
The highest woman.
Yeah, Ger can marry the highest woman in Klal Yisrael, which is a Bas Kohen. And he can marry the lowest, which is a mamzeres. That's why it juxtaposes the extremities. So we have to be ma'ayin taka cholol shenasa bas Yisrael, and they have a cholol. Is that son a cholol or just a plain Yisrael? The guy be posseling his daughter. Okay, we'll try to check that. Okay, all right. Have a good Shabbos, everyone.